You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right, like the dude just said. So yeah, we're moving into number two on today's Triple Dipper. We're talking about what I'm referring to as the travesty on the troops. A travesty on the troops. I mean, so here's the deal. Just starting off the whole segment with this. Apparently this week, not apparently, but this week, President Biden signed the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, the $740 billion in funding that was even more than he had asked for to fund our military. All right, all good. We got funding for the military. Interesting point in there, though, is that the final version of the NDAA that did pass and he signed it directs the Pentagon to submit a report outlining the establishment of a separate punitive article in the Uniform Code of Military Justice on violent extremism. In other words, they want hate crimes and extremist stuff built into the UCMJ. Why? Because it makes politicians feel better. All right, coming up on the phone right now, Casey Wardinsky is with us. Casey Wardinsky is a former superintendent of schools here in the Huntsville system. He also has a degree from the U.S. Military Academy and spent decades in the U.S. military, even serving after retirement as the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Manpower and Reserve Affairs under the Trump administration. He's now running for Congress here in the 5th Congressional District. Glad to have him on with us. Casey Wardinsky, how are you today, sir?
Great. Good to be here.
Great. Glad you're here. Well, let me ask you this just to lead off, Casey, in your multi-decades of service, did you ever see systemic levels of extremism that caused you concern in the ranks of our U.S. military?
No, I didn't, Phil. And that includes up to January 20 of last year, at which point I stopped my service as Assistant Secretary of the Army, and I had purview over such matters.
Well, and I know you did. So as Assistant Secretary of the Army for Manpower and Reserve Affairs, the policies that affect our manpower, in essence, would come to your desk, correct?
That's right.
Well, so I'm looking at this, and Casey, it's amazing to me. I mean, the level of rhetoric being centered on our troops right now, claiming that there is an issue with extremism in the ranks and that we've got to deal with it, and they're rooting things out, and they're having stand-downs, you know, and give me your thoughts and perspectives on this.
Well, it's a worldview that the Biden administration brought to leading this country. When we did the transition calls with members of the Biden administration before the inauguration, their main concern was demography, optical sort of depictions of humans. What color were they? What gender were they? Those sorts of things was their main concern about the demography of the military. Questions of readiness, combat effectiveness, they didn't come up. And so after the inauguration, you remember when we had 20-something thousand guardsmen in D.C., this issue of supremacy and the composition of the military, and particularly the Guard, and where they're from and what religion they were, you started to see a lot of that in the media, and a lot of the talking heads in Washington started talking about white supremacy. And before you know it, they concocted this idea that the military had a white supremacy problem. And even today, I think you might be talking about 100 uniformed service members out of, you know, several million that have something going on the Internet, you know, that isn't wholesome. So very, very small numbers.
Very small numbers. In fact, I have an article that I'll get to after our discussion here. That literally says that in the January 6th so-called insurrection, which, by the way, I don't at all debate whether or not that was a good day. It was not a good day. It was not a good look. It was awful. That never should have happened. But it was not an insurrection, in my opinion. That being said, they keep going on and on in these articles that I've got about how desperately we need to seek out the ranks of our military because there were military members that were there. There were five. There were five active, and that, by the way, that includes Guard, Reserve, and active, five total who are still in some form of uniform service. There were about 80 total, including those five, of which the others are all veterans, but somehow they believe that the Department of Defense should control the life of a veteran after service. And the whole thing is a witch hunt, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a boogeyman designed to help destroy the last institution. The leftists haven't sort of conquered already. They got the academia, they got Hollywood, They're after our schools, apparently law enforcement in the form of the FBI, and now they're after the military. And you can see it with General Milley's remarks about, you know, white rage. You can see it with the focus in the previous version of the NDAA, not the one the president just signed, but the one that the House drafted. It was loaded with this extremism business and creating an Office of Countering Extremism in the Undersecretary of Defense's office. It was just larded up with that stuff. Happily, the Senate stripped out a lot of it before it went to the president.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, I remember my dad, and I think I talked before. My dad, my granddad, both career Army. Dad retired as an 05. Spent a lot of time at Redstone after his time in as an armor officer. But I remember my dad telling me when I was growing up that he was very proud of the fact that the military was the first ever true melting pot in our society, because it was one of the first fully integrated realms of our society. And I agree with that. I still look back on that, and I remember his pride in saying that. And I think that's overlooked very often. Now, were there problems along the way? Yes. But our society's had problems along the way. But we are a society that has dealt with the problems. And the idea that we are still systemically racist, or the other one, by the way, that they're using, Casey, in some of these articles I've got here, is right-wing extremists. Now, I don't know how they define that, because they don't. But apparently there's right-wing extremists right now in the military.
Well, you might remember a year before last at the Army-Navy game, they launched a witch hunt against cadets who had flashed the OK symbol to each other. After, the Army had scored a touchdown or made a good play. And I investigated the heck out of that and discovered it meant okay. So people concoct new meanings of language to support the critical race theory, and they reinvent meanings for a lot of symbols that already existed to get captured under this new iteration of the DOD directive that governs extremism. Because it now covers things like symbols and bumper stickers and clothing and all these sorts of things that can loop you into being, in the eyes of Department of Defense now, an extremist.
Well, and that's just it. I was going to ask you about that. So you hit the nail on the head. So the new policies that are coming out to help root out and identify, that's what they want to do. They want to identify the extremists. Now they're looking at your social media, and to include what you like on social media, not whether you posted something, but whether you liked something. And they're also looking at, like you said, tattoos. They're looking at your social life outside of uniform time. And granted, I don't want to see a guy in, you know, my platoon be a member of the KKK. I don't. But I don't want to see the identity of you know, something that they consider right wing that's not right wing being transferred into, you know, being detrimental to his career. And that's where I think we're headed right now.
Yeah, it's very fuzzy. The new directive came out on 20 December, so kind of an odd timing, because having been in the Pentagon, I can tell you there's not a lot of people cranking out directives the week before Christmas.
Kidding. Yeah.
They published this thing on the 20th, and it drastically updates the old directive regarding prohibited behaviors. And it gets into a lot of word meanings and prohibitive symbols, this sort of stuff, and it's going to be pretty problematic and create more, you know, demoralization of the military, I'd argue. It's divisive in its very nature.
Well, so in your experience, let me ask you this, and I recognize now you're hoping to get to Congress, where hopefully you can have some control over some of these legislated ridiculous things that are going on, but in your experience in the military, how would you even enforce this? Because I can tell you, I don't think I'm going to take a guy's shirt off to check out his tattoos. I don't see how this. A lot of this is enforceable. What are your thoughts?
Well, having been near it when they were talking about this sort of stuff towards the very beginning of my time in the Pentagon, with regard to people that are violent in nature, not extremists, they're looking at databases, and so somebody might just make a report to counterintelligence or the MPs that, hey, you know, we were taking a shower and I saw Jones had an objectionable tattoo. Or I saw his car had a bumper sticker I didn't like. Or I was in his house and he had a poster I didn't like. Or I saw him flash some sort of symbol I didn't like. And so this is supported by building databases that capture, you know, reported information that doesn't necessarily need to be substantiated and just lays in wait and perhaps denies you a security clearance, leads to prohibiting you from being able to re-enlist, get a coveted assignment. You know, you're a special operator, might prevent you from being in special operations. And so that's where this kind of stuff leads.
Well, it does. And career enders come in a variety of capacities. And sometimes you don't necessarily end the career, but you end the capabilities of the career, like you were just alluding to. And you're right. If you diminish someone's ability to get a clearance, there's a lot of jobs they can't have at that point. And that also, by the way, if they get out of the service and they want to go into clearance level activity outside the service, that's on their record as to why they didn't get a clearance at one point. It's something that follows them the rest of their lives because of the subjective nature of somebody deciding you're an extremist when you perhaps really weren't.
Right, right. And it tends to follow from this, you know, the white supremacist seems to be what they're really after. I don't hear it described in any other way. And the extremisms are always on the right, not on the left. And so it's got a political tone to it.
Well, it bears watching. And as we see this thing develop, Casey, I've got you on speed dial. I'm going to want your feedback as we go along. But really appreciate you being with us today, taking time out. I know it was a last-minute request, and so certainly appreciate you jumping on the phone and getting on the show with us. Casey Wardinski, thank you so much.
Thanks, Phil. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. All right, folks, that was Casey Wardinski, a retired U.S. Army colonel who served as an assistant secretary of the Army under the Trump administration for reserve and manpower affairs. He has seen at all levels of the military the kind of policies that can have a dramatic impact on someone's life. I'm going to tell you more about this when we get back. Copper, go ahead and take us to the break. We come back. I got a stack of stuff that I will get through here to try and show you some of the ridiculous ways this is being reported, misconstrued, and applied, unfortunately. Travesty on the troops is what I call it on the Triple Dipper. We'll be right back.